Hey, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Monday morning, that means my dad's going to call in a little bit to tell a joke because it's a jokey time. And our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. So welcome back. Monday morning right here on WGN. I'm here till 5, Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell and the great Steve Cochran at 6. So, yeah. All right. I don't, you know, Dan, I don't know. This was not a conscious thing on my part to just specifically like every submarine movie I've seen. I just kept looking back at titles of submarine movies and I just kept coming up with a title and then going, yeah, I like that movie. Yeah, I like that movie. I just happen to really like submarine movies.
That is a very odd coincidence considering your fear of confined spaces.
Exactly. Maybe that adds to it. I don't know. But yeah, so we've got some of the best submarine movies of all time. We want to hear from you. We got some texts that have come in. And Sandy says my first sub movie was Das Boot, which is probably the quintessential submarine movie. I would say that that's the best submarine movie ever made. And you want to talk about claustrophobic, my God. And I think that's the one that you measure all submarine movies to is Das Boot. Have you seen Das Boot, Dan?
I have not.
It's really great. And if you see like the full on director's cut, that's like 3 hours and something, it's great. 815 area code Sink the Bismarck. 630 area code Crimson Tide. Somebody very excited with lots of exclamation points. That's the movie where Denzel Washington and Gene Hackman punch each other for an hour and a half. That's the way one of my friends describes that movie. That's a good movie. Crimson Tide is a really good movie. Tony Scott directed that one. You seen that one?
I have not.
Have you seen any submarine movies? You saw Down Periscope.
I was going to say that is my favorite. That was one of those HBO specials where it was on every three days.
Yeah.
And
I'm trying to remember who else was in it. I know Kelsey Grammer,
Lauren Graham.
Oh, right, Lauren Graham.
Or Lauren Holly.
No, Lauren Holly from from the Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
Yeah, Lauren Holly.
that guy Artie, the comedian Artie.
Artie Lang?
I think Artie Lang was in it, yeah.
Artie Lang from Stern Show?
No, he did not play the cook.
Are you getting your Arties mixed up?
I'm getting my Arties mixed up.
There's an Artie.
He's kind of a skinny comedian. Like, I want to say his name was Artie.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I'll pull up the
Down Periscope, because it's important to know the cast and crew. Of
well, I mean, you know, that was one of the, you know, it was definitely one of those, like, oh, I've seen that guy in other things, and he's funny and things like that.
Yeah.
Rob Schneider's in it. Harry Dean Stanton's in it.
Oh, that's right, Harry Dean Stanton. Right. I totally forgot that Harry Dean Stanton was in it.
Bruce Dern plays the bad guy. Mm-hmm. William H. Macy. Ken Hudson Campbell played the cook.
And who's the director? Do they have
the director of this fine piece of work was David S. Ward.
Oh, David S. Ward directed. He directed Minor League or Major League. Directed Major League.
There you go.
Yeah. Also wrote The Sting.
Harlan Williams was the.
Oh, artist. Harlan Williams, of course, from Half Baked.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Actually, I totally forgot. But it's a good cast.
It's a very good cast.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty funny movie.
Yeah. No, I remember liking it, of course, because it's a submarine movie, and I like all submarine movies. So let's see. Steve from Pennsylvania says Run Silent, Run Deep. That's a great movie. Run Silent, Run Deep is a great, great movie. And The Bedford Incident, a great theatrical experience by anyone's standards. 847 area code says, great show. My dad is a World War II veteran. He's 97 years old. And his favorite movie is Down Periscope. Well, there you go. Come on, man. 97-year-old WW2 veteran? And he picks Down Periscope? Well, then you got to know it's good. Yeah. Some of the other classics, like The Hunt for Red October, obviously, you know. You got Sam Neill, you got Sean Connery, and you got Alec Baldwin. That John McTiernan, director of Die Hard. That's a strong one. And they're all kind of similar. That's another thing about this, about the submarine movies. They're all kind of similar. You know, as you know, Dan, last week, Esmeralda and I came up with the Cheech and Chong submarine movie.
Yes.
Where we were going to put Cheech and Chong in charge of a submarine. And at some point, they were going to make a bong out of the submarine. And we're calling it Cheech and Chong in Bong Marine. That's the title of it.
That's trademark, folks. Don't you try to steal that.
Don't even steal it, man. Because you know that's a billion-dollar idea right there. That's going to make more money than Black Panther. Bong Marine with Cheech and Chong. It's really funny, though. I don't know if Cheech still smokes pot, though. I know Chong does. I follow Chong on Facebook. He's ridiculous. He posts the most ridiculous things on the Facebook page. But yeah, Cheech and Chong and Bong Marine. I'd see that.
Several times.
In IMAX.
Well, imagine your Dolby sound.
Dolby, IMAX, recline. I couldn't recline during that damn movie.
I don't think it sounds like nobody can.
Oh, my God. And, you know, because those are really lovely seats. They're leather, and you can recline. They go back in the thing, and you're all reclined and relaxed. And, you know, the movie started during the trailers. I put up the recliner thing. I'm leaning back, relaxing. I'm not kidding. 10 minutes into A Quiet Place, I was like, I can't recline with this. I can barely sit. I could barely sit still during that movie. Oh, man. Now, Dan, do you like horror movies? You like them, right?
I do not.
No, you don't.
I'm out.
You're out?
No, thank you.
Okay. Because this is a scary one, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the kind of similar to Get Out.
Yeah.
This strikes me as like one of those horror movies where it's enough of a genre bender that I would be able to watch it /willing to watch it.
Yeah. I will say this, if it shows up on cable like next year, you should watch it. Mm-hmm. It won't be nearly as effective as seeing it on the big screen with a really good sound system. And as we all pointed out, the audiences that we saw A Quiet Place with, you could hear a pin drop. And that's never like that in a movie theater. There's people whispering, somebody's messing with their phone. Nothing, man. Like every single person was completely zoned in on this movie. And like nothing. I think people were so freaked out that they didn't want to make a sound, thinking that maybe monsters would come into the theater and kill us. So freaked my mom out big time, man.
Was that the one you saw with your parents?
I saw both. We saw Blockers and that one together.
What did they think of Blockers?
They liked it. They liked it very much.
Which one did they like more?
Quiet Place. But the thing, you know, it was because my mom freaks out at horror movies.
Right.
Okay.
I believe during Exorcist, she had her hoodie up above her eyes.
Yeah. And this was, you know, 40 years after the movie came out, and she hadn't seen it. You know, she had her hoodie over. When I screened it at my film club, she sat next to me, like, covered. Her face was covered during the entire movie. And she's already freaking out about Hereditary. She's like, totally, like, I don't even know if I can, I don't know. So basically, it was like, okay, we'll go see A Quiet Place, then we'll see Blockers. You need to clean your palate.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out that way. We saw Blockers first. the show times didn't work out. So we did not serve the purpose that we thought we were going to serve, which was to have my mom feel happy going home at night instead of freaking out over, you know, making noise and having monsters come up and kill you. So, but yeah, no, my parents like both of them. They like both of them. I'll say this, at Blockers, I'm not really sure if the people who were the mother who was sitting about five seats down from me knew what the movie was about, because she brought like a 7-year-old and an 8-year-old. And there were times in the movie when I was just like, I was embarrassed. I was like, man, the 7-year-old should not be seeing this scene about semen. This is not something that this kid should be watching, let alone sticking a tube up John Cena's butt and pouring beer into it. You know, I'm like, what? Did you not see the trailer for this movie? Did you not know? And the fact that it's rated R? Again, I can't speak to this kind of stuff, Dan, because, you know, personally, I saw an insane amount of movies that I shouldn't have seen at a young age. And, of course, Chief being The Exorcist, I saw at 8. My dad took me to see The Exorcist when I was 8. So if you want your kids to turn out like me, take them to R-rated movies. If you want them to turn out normal, don't. So, all right. 312-981-7200. We'll get back to more submarine movies and other cool stuff. Text or call right now at 312-981-7200. We got a break here for weather and for traffic. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's Monday and it's a jokey time. That's coming up in a little bit. Right now, we're talking about submarine movies. For some reason, I happen to like every submarine movie that I've ever seen. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what the connection is. I'm not sure, but I pretty much dig every submarine movie that I've seen. 312-981-7200 if you would like to talk about this very specific genre of movies. And there are a lot of them here. I've got a list here from Ranker about the best submarine movies of all time. And on this list, 35 of them are on this list. Yeah. So we're going to get to that in a second. But here's Lisa on WGN. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
I have always liked The Enemy Below.
Great movie. It's,
yeah, and the other one I like, which doesn't completely take place in a submarine, is On the Beach.
Well, it's a big part of it.
Yeah, it is.
It's a big part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Enemy Below is a really terrific movie. And made number 5 on this list, by the way, Lisa.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. So those are good ones. Okay, Lisa, thanks.
Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.
I would like to mention, oddly, 1941 is not on this list. Now, technically, 1941 isn't a submarine movie, but a lot of it takes place on a submarine. The Japanese submarine that's in the harbor, in California, in the harbor, that has Japanese soldiers and also a Nazi soldier, played by Christopher Lee. And that's when they grab Slim Pickens. And kidnap Slim Pickens, and there's this fantastic scene where he has they're going through his stuff, and he's got Cracker Jack, and inside the Cracker Jack, because their compass is broken, the Japanese sub's compass is not working, so inside the package, the prize in his box of Cracker Jacks is a little compass, and so he swallows it. So that the Japanese soldiers don't, you know, have a compass. He doesn't want them to find their way to get to California and do all these other things. So he swallows this little compass, and then they spend a good portion of the rest of the time on the submarine feeding him prune juice so that he can go to the bathroom and pass the compass. That's like part of what the sequence is about, and it's really funny. Let's see. Jen, do you like submarine movies?
I can honestly say I don't think I've ever seen one submarine movie.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe The Hunt for Red October, but...
Yeah, that's a submarine movie.
I don't know if I've seen the whole thing.
Crimson Tide, Denzel Washington, Gene Hackman?
No.
Didn't see that one?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
No skin in this game.
It's a very specific genre, like I said.
It is.
And for some reason, I like them all. And I don't know what the reasoning is. Now, how are you with horror movies, Jen?
I'm not a fan of horror movies, but I like sci-fi. So zombies, yeah, they're in, but monsters, they're out.
Okay. So this new movie that John Krasinski and Emily Blunt are in, that Krasinski directed, A Quiet Place, there are monsters in it.
Okay.
So would you be out or in?
Pretty much I'd probably be out.
Yeah, it's really scary, though.
I mean, I don't particularly like going to the movies anyways.
Oh, well, all right.
I don't know. Like popcorn, and I'd rather stay on my couch.
Yeah. Well, there are specific movies that need to be seen on the big screen. I can understand why people don't want to go to the movies. It's really expensive. It's a pain in the neck. A lot of the people who go to movies are very rude, and they're on their phone, and they're all doing, you know, it's a real, you know, I can understand why people would not, you know, it costs $20 for a bucket of popcorn, and, you
yeah.
know. So, but there are certain movies that I think need to be seen on the big screen, and A Quiet Place is one of them.
Okay.
It needs to be seen. Like, if you can see it in the AMC Dolby Theater with the spectacular sound, it'll freak you out completely. Okay. All right. We got some text coming in for the submarine stuff. Jeff from Ohio says, my favorite submarine movie is Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea from 1961. It's my favorite, not only because it led to one of my favorite TV series of all time, but if I was going to travel the seven seas, he Seaview would be on that boat. There you go. 773 area code says U-571. U-571 rules. That's my main man McConaughey is in that. So, and he never says this during it.
All right, all right, all right.
No, doesn't say it. But he's in it, and it's really good. Really, really well made, and it's suspenseful and really cool. And, Dan, as you know, U-571, greatest thing that John Bon Jovi has ever been associated with.
That is right.
Because John Bon Jovi's in it. 312 area code, Operation Petticoat. Yeah, that's a good one, which also became a TV series. Here's a little, you ready for a little weird connection, Dan? A little weird tidbit. The movie version of Operation Petticoat which is a sort of a comedy about you know, the submarine, these guys on the submarine, and nurses that come on the submarine with them, and female soldiers who come on the submarine with them. The cast was led by Tony Curtis. The TV series that was made eventually for Operation Petticoat in the 70s starred Jamie Lee Curtis.
Amazing.
And you know how I know that?
How's that?
Because Jamie Lee Curtis was in it, and I watched it.
Shocking.
Anything with Jamie Lee Curtis. Because, you know, as you know, that's yes, my biggest crush ever.
Yes.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Going back to the U-571 for a second.
Yeah, man.
Did you ever go to the U-505 exhibit at
yes,
the museum?
Yes, I did.
Were you able to contain yourself?
I was. And, you know, they had, you know, that was there for years. It's still there. It's still there, right?
I believe it is, yes.
I used to go there all the time. We used to go there, and I loved it. 630 area code, the fate of the furious. Yes, that's right. They make some really funny Fast and Furious references in Blockers, Dan. There's a part where Ike Barinholtz is trying to, you know, they're trying to catch up with the limo. The kids are in a limo, and they're in a car following them. They're trying to catch up with them. And he's like, okay, here's what you got to do. I've seen every one of the Fast and Furious movies, and they're awesome. And so you have to follow what would Vin Diesel do? And they're like, all right, let's do this. And he goes, and Leslie Mann is like, she's driving the car. And John Cena's in the back going, this is a bad idea. It's a bad idea. And so they're flying down this road trying to catch up with the limo. And so he goes, have you seen any? He says to Leslie Mann, have you seen any of the Fast and Furious movies? She's like, oh, I don't know. I saw that one. I saw that one where The Rock punches a missile. No, a torpedo. Where the Rock punches a torpedo. And he's like, yeah, that was a good one. And that's the one, Fate and the Furious.
There you go.
Where The Rock punches a torpedo, a giant And then it, you know, because it doesn't work out in Blockers, it doesn't work out. They end up like crashing the car. He goes, as they're getting out of the car, which is just, he goes, I just realized, you know, that the Fast and the Furious movies, they're not very realistic.
Hi.
That's a funny
Better
movie.
Prepared for today.
Yeah, it's a funny movie. So, all right, we got to take a break here, and we shall return. Submarine movies, if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, and we will be back after this break. Hello, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. weekday mornings, and here till 5. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cochran has your morning drive at 6. It's Monday. That means my dad's going to call in just a few minutes to tell a joke, because it's a jokey time on Monday morning. And, yeah, so that's what's coming up here on the show. And we've been talking about submarine movies, which for some reason I have liked them all, and I have some sort of fascination with them, and I'm not sure why. I'm not a fan of confined spaces. I swim like a rock. But I love the movies. And we've gotten a bunch of texts that come in, and we have a list here from Rankers for the best submarine movies of all time, and there are a lot of them. 309 area code says, my first submarine movie was 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I love that movie. That's a classic. A classic. All right. Hey, Dan, did you ever see K-19, The Widowmaker?
No.
K-19, The Widowmaker? Harrison Ford, Peter Sarsgaard. There's a great, look that one up. Catherine Bigelow directed it, which means, of course, it's awesome. But I really enjoyed it. It made a buck at the box office. I mean, it tanked. It took place on a Russian submarine. Very suspenseful and really well done, and, you know, really, really tense in that way that some of the best Catherine Bigelow movies are. Tense, like Zero Dark Thirty and Detroit, and of course Hurt Locker. And she's one of the best directors ever. And it was a big budget release. I think it was, if I remember correctly, it was a summer release. It was a Paramount. They spent a ton of money on it. Harrison Ford was in it. They thought, okay, Harrison Ford, big budget summer movie. It's going to make a ton of money. No. It tanked.
Cumulative worldwide gross was $65 million.
And that's not even what it cost.
Budget was $100 million.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's Harrison Ford, Peter Sarsgaard. I'm trying to remember the other big names in it, too.
Liam Neeson's.
Oh, yeah, the Liam Neeson's. That's right. Liam Neeson's is in it. And a lot of younger actors who played many of the Russian soldiers who were on board. But, yeah, really good movie, and nobody went to see it. K-19, The Widowmaker. So they have The Abyss on here. Now, I don't know if that's a sub. It takes place. They're submerged, but that's a science fiction movie. I don't know if I would call that a submarine movie. I mean, it does take place underwater, and there's a submarine in it, but that's a sci-fi movie, I think. Torpedo Run is another one. How about Gray Lady Down? You ever see that one, Dan? Gray Lady Down with Charlton Heston?
It's a great name, though.
Gray Lady Down, that's from the 70s. I want to say 78, maybe, with Chuck Heston. Very exciting. They also have The Spy Who Loved Me on here. The James Bond movie where they have, like, this futuristic, crazy submarine. And I'm trying to remember who played the bad guy in that one, but he was the one who was operating the submarine, was going to blow stuff up with the sub. And it had, like, it was a very cool, sleek, futuristic submarine. That was in the 70s, so futuristic means it looks to the 70s. Just like the Jetsons. When you watch the Jetsons, you realize that the future looks like the 60s. That's the one takeaway that you get from watching the Jetsons. Oh, in the future, we're going to look like the 60s. So, yeah, The Spy Who Loved Me. If I remember correctly, that was a good movie. That was one of the better Roger Moore Bond movies. It also had a really good, the song is good, too, the title track, the Bond song. Hell in High Water is on here, on the list. And Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. They also have The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. It's the only Wes Anderson movie that I don't love. Is The Life Aquatic. Have you seen that one, Dan?
No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah. It's the only one out there that I did not love. Okay. Oh, how about Below, Dan? Below is a horror movie on a submarine.
How is that not number one on your list?
It rules. It's a horror movie on a submarine. And you look up the cast because you know who's in it. Who's in it is Noel from Felicity. Scott Foley is in it. And so that adds right to it. It's a horror movie, ghost haunted horror movie, haunted submarine movie with Noel from Felicity. And by the way, they're doing a big, in honor of it's 20 years, the 20th anniversary of Felicity, because it debuted in the fall of 98, Felicity. So in honor of the 20th anniversary of Felicity, a bunch of the cast members are reuniting at a television event thing.
Yeah, the ATX Festival where Dan Feinberg goes every year.
Yeah, I'm so jealous. But Scott Foley, missing from the list. I don't know why. Why would Noel not go? Because you got Carrie Russell, you got Scott Speedman, you got Amy Jo Johnson, you got Tangi Miller. Why am I blanking on the Amanda? Oh, what was her last? She played Megan. Amanda Donahue. Amanda Donahue, I think is her name. She played Megan. She was the crazy roommate who ended
Amanda Foreman.
Amanda Foreman, that's it. Amanda Foreman, that's her. And Ian Gomez is going to be there. But no Noel. I don't think I understand what's going on there. I don't know if there's a little tension between Noel and the rest of the cast. Yeah. So that's, by the way, where he met Jennifer Garner. Scott Foley met Jennifer Garner on the set. They played boyfriend and girlfriend on the show, and then they ended up getting married. And then she dumped him because she was sleeping with the dude from Alias. Then dumped him for Affleck, and now they're done. Right? They're not married anymore, right?
They are not.
Yeah. So another reason why Ben Affleck is always sad. So yeah, I'm very jealous.
Hi, I'm Carrie Russell, and I love Nick's radio show.
I know you do, baby. So we'll have to get a detailed report from Feinberg about that reunion. And I'm going to tell Dan next time I talk to Dan, which will be a week from Thursday. He's going to ask why Scott Foley's not there. We got to get down to the nitty gritty and find out the real truth behind why. No Noel.
Get the I-team on it.
That's exactly right, man. There's got to be some sort of reason why there's no Noel. Anyway, he's in Below. Did you look up the other cast members of Below?
Below, for some reason, Below is not coming up on the IMDb.
Oh, it's not?
Nope.
Oh, boy. Well, it wasn't not the biggest hit in the world. I want to say it was 2004. Four, maybe? Something like that.
Yeah. So we'll keep looking for Below.
2002.
There it is. Oh, 2002. Okay.
Matthew Davis, Bruce Greenwood, Olivia Williams. Those are the only people I recognize.
Yeah. And, of course, Scott Foley. And what do they have as a description for it? What's the plot description?
Strange happenings occur on a World War II submarine.
That's it?
That's it.
See, and again, Dan, that's enough for me.
Yeah. Well,
I hear that description, and I go, yeah, I'm in. All right. Here is KJ on WGN. Hi, KJ.
Hi. I seem to recall that the Museum of Science and Industry had the submarine down there in the 60s, and I went down to see it. And I had claustrophobia.
Yeah. No, I went down there. I went down there several times when I was a kid in the 70s and into the 80s. I remember going down there and it is because it's real. It's an actual submarine.
Yeah. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, how do these guys do it?
Exactly.
I mean, there was no room to walk.
No, I know exactly. Maybe I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm conquering some sort of fear by seeing all these movies, Dan. I don't know, because you see this, and having gone into the U-505 at the Museum of Science and Industry, it is, that's, KJ, that's the reaction. You're like, how did these guys do this?
I did. I couldn't wait to get out of there. I started to sweat. And
yeah.
I was with a date.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah, you want it to be a safe date. All right.
Right.
All right, KJ, thank you.
Okay.
All right, take care. Bye. Yeah, that's pretty cool. You went to the sub.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty claustrophobic.
Yeah.
And you do immediately go, how do these guys do this? How do they do this? You know, in a lot of submarine movies, one of the best parts of a lot of submarine movies is when, you know, equipment starts busting and water shoots in.
Yep.
When the walls start to buckle. And it's inevitable. In every submarine movie, there is a scene where the walls buckle and water shoots in. And it's cool every time. And especially when Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington are punching each other in the face for an hour and a half. All right. We have to break. For weather and traffic, and then after that, my dad's going to call in. It's Monday, and he's going to tell a joke, because it's a jokey time. But we got a break right here for weather and traffic.
Nick's dad told a joke.
That's right. He'll do it again next Monday. So there you go. I should ask my dad if he likes submarine movies. I'm trying to remember if he does or not. I don't think he cares. Submarines, whatever.
It's not Hereditary.
No, I don't think it's Hereditary. Also, can't wait to see that movie. In June, that's going to be the scariest movie of the year, from what I understand. Didn't Eric say that the movie will actually kill people?
Yes, I believe that's...
That's what he said. He said when the horror movie Hereditary comes out, it will kill people. I've got to say, have you seen the trailer for it, Dan?
No, I will pass on that.
Okay, well, that's right. You're not a big scary movie guy. It's the trailer's insane, man. The trailer's so good. And there's like, you know, they got quotes because they've screened it at film festivals, and the critical response has been amazing. Like, people are freaked out. And there's actually a quote that says, it's this generation's Exorcist, only the heads will spin more. And I was like, come on now. Come on now. Toni Collette, Gabriel Byrne. It looks so good. Looks so good. I love movies that will kill people. Was it the John Carpenter movie, In the Mouth of Madness? A great John Carpenter. Well, that's redundant. A great John Carpenter movie. It's a John Carpenter movie, so therefore it was already assumed great. That was a movie about a movie that drove people insane, that made them go nuts and start killing people.
Huh.
And a book. This Sutter Kane, he was a subtle... You know, allusion to Stephen King. Mm. Sutter Kane was this. Charlton Heston's in this movie too, and Sam Neill, who's in. Wow,
there you
the
go.
Submarine connection right there.
You're gonna start a game like 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, right. 6 degrees
of submarine, submarine movies. Anyway, they're both in it, and he plays a private investigator who's going to go find Sutter Kane, whose novels have made people go insane. His novels, and then eventually at the end of the movie, they make a movie out of Sutter Kane's book, and that makes it even more mass. Like, people go nuts in the theater, and they start killing everybody, get hatchets, and start, you know, killing people. It's great. It's a fun movie for the whole family.
414 area code again mentions Gray Lady Down, as we talked about before. That's Charlton Heston. 715 area code says, in the movie Operation Petticoat, one of the young nurses was a young Marion Ross. Oh! Oh, Mrs. C. I don't remember Mrs. C being in Operation Petticoat. 773 area code says, Kurt Jurgens played the villain in Spy Who Loved Me. His name was Carl Stromberg. That was, okay. 708 area code said, the TV show NCIS has a lot of scenes on submarines since they are Navy investigators, and Jamie Lee Curtis was even a guest star on a few episodes. I know. That's the only time I ever watched NCIS was because Jamie Lee Curtis was on it. Never seen an episode. It is NCIS. That's, okay. Okay, so that's the
original.
The original, and that's the sequel to JAG.
Right.
Featuring Larry JAG.
One and only Larry
JAG.
And Catherine Bell.
And Catherine Bell, which was Ron Santo's favorite, as is mine. But then that's the only time I ever watched, because Jamie Lee Curtis was on a few episodes. She was, I think, if I remember correctly.
It was like an arc.
Yeah, there was an arc for her. She was like a love interest for Mark Harmon.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I watched it, was because Jamie Lee Curtis was on it. And then the only other time I watched, what was the one with William Peterson? What was that?
CSI.
That's CSI. The only time I ever watched, because I never watched any of those things. Mm-hmm. The only time I ever watched was the two episodes that Quentin Tarantino directed.
Right.
Those are the only time. And in one of those damn episodes, there was a buried alive thing. That's a thing with him.
Yeah.
With Tarantino. And not a thing with me. I don't enjoy that at all, despite the fact that I love submarine movies. Being buried alive in Kill Bill, forget it. But the worst was The Serpent in the Rainbow. Serpent in the Rainbow traumatized me. Like, I remember I was sitting next to Roy, and I was in the fetal position, rocking in the seat, hyperventilating. And Roy's like, hey, are you all right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. This is awesome. This is really awesome. Because I'm claustrophobic, and it freaks me out. So, all right. What else we got here? We, of course, have Yellow Submarine, The Beatles, which I believe is getting a re-release in the theaters.
I believe you are correct.
Yeah. I don't. What anniversary would that be? It would be 40.
50th, I believe.
50? Yeah, it would be 50. It would be 50, yeah, 68, 50. Yeah, that's how old I am. Oh, The Land That Time Forgot. They actually included The Land That Time Forgot in here with Doug McClure, who's based on Troy. Well, Troy McClure from the Simpsons is based on Troy Donahue and Doug McClure. So they just took their two names and put them together. That's where you might know me from such PSAs or such educational films as Smoke Yourself Thin, which is one of my favorites. But anyway, Doug McClure is in this movie. It's ridiculous. They have a submarine that goes back to time with dinosaurs. So there's like cavemen and dinosaurs and stuff. So it's like this submarine goes in, you know.
Time traveling.
Yeah. Time traveling. And if I'm not mistaken, it like drills a hole. That's at the Earth's core. That's where they drill a hole. Peter Cushing is in that one with Doug McClure.
Wait, there's a Peter Cushing submarine movie?
It's not a submarine. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that drills through the surface of the earth.
Yeah.
And they end up, again, cavemen and, you know, dinosaurs and stuff. And Carolyn Monroe is in that one, too. But, yeah, that's called At Earth's Core. That's Peter Cushing. With a monocle.
Wow. Severely underrated fashion choice.
Only person can get away with it, Peter Cushing. Then we have Submerged, which is another one. In Indian Hands, Hostile Waters. Phantom. Some of these I haven't seen. I'm trying to remember what Phantom is. I just keep thinking of that terrible horror movie called Phantoms with Ben Affleck. And because in Jay and Silent Bob, they keep saying Ben Affleck is the bomb in Phantoms, yo. But I don't remember what Phantom. Can you look up Phantom?
I'm attempting to. And, you know,
it's a very generic name,
yes,
though.
Yes, the Billy Zane.
The Billy Zane thing. You should listen to your friend Billy Zane. Yeah, that Billy Zane thing where they were trying to make him that phantom of a superhero, that didn't work out very well. So, and then, of course, we have the Bedford incident, which another person brought up as well. We Dive at Dawn is another science fiction, or not science fiction, submarine movie that is very good. But the top five on this list are The Enemy Below at number five, number four, Crimson Tide, number three, Run Silent, Run Deep, number two, The Hunt for Red October, and number one, the granddaddy of all submarine movies, Das Boot. So, that's your top five. And Operation Petticoat made the top 10. Oh, we forgot Ice Station Zebra. Ice Station Zebra is great.
Phantom was a 2013 featuring Ed Harris and David Duchovny. The haunted captain of a Soviet submarine holds the fate of the world in his hands, forced to leave his family behind. He is charged with leading a covert mission cloaked in mystery.
Whoa. Why don't I remember that at all? 2013? So it was only a few years ago.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. The best submarine movies of all time, and I like 90% of them, especially if they're haunted submarines. All right. We're going to take a break. We've got the news coming up next, followed by the opening bell. And tune in tomorrow because we're going to talk baseball with an author who has written like 60 books, many of which are on baseball. He's fantastic. His name is Paul Dixon. He's been on the show many times, and we're going to talk baseball with him. That's all coming up tomorrow. But stay tuned for the opening bell after the news next.